All right, let's dig into this Micah Parsons trade. If you've got thoughts on it, 713-572-4610. So let's establish this right off of the bat, because most of the time when a team is trading a player like Micah Parsons for draft picks, the Cowboys, for those who haven't seen the details of the trade, the Cowboys yesterday afternoon sent Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for two first-round picks and Kenny Clark, who is a defensive lineman. He's kind of a run-stopping defensive lineman. The Packers, in turn, give Micah Parsons the biggest contract ever for a non-quarterback. This offseason has been the offseason of non-quarterbacks jumping and leapfrogging each other. You had Max Crosby, yeah, and then Myles Garrett puts a $4 million gap between him and Max Crosby, and then Ja'Marr Chase. T.J. Watt, I think, was it until I think he was getting 41 and something. Whatever. It's by like $6 million per year. Micah Parsons is now the highest paid non-quarterback at $47 million a year. But let's establish this right out of the chute. This is not a situation where this is a team, the Cowboys, that's a bad team that feels like we're going into rebuild mode. Jerry Jones was selling yesterday that they feel they can take whatever money it was they were going to give to Micah Parsons and we can spend this better and use these draft picks and be a better team without Micah Parsons.
Decided that it was in the best interest of our team to take the consideration that we have. We appreciate his 4 years, but we can take that consideration and we can win in our minds more than had we gone the other route and signed. That's not a negative on Micah. That's just unique to our circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah. Except that he also, remember, was claiming that he had already given him more money than or offered him more money than anybody else had ever made and whatnot. So it's not like there's a problem with Jerry. It's one of these things that makes sense in general if you were to say that and take that. But he was perfectly willing to pay Micah Parsons a whole bunch of money. He turned it into a drama. He made it about him. He made it about inviting speculation and soap opera type elements to the Cowboys, which is what he wants to do. And just like he does with every single one of these high profile contracts, he just kicks it down the road and kicks it down the road and kicks it down the road. And you could have had your cake and eaten it too, Jerry. If you'd done this deal last offseason, you could have made him the highest paid, non-quarterback or highest paid defensive end and still been in a better off situation by far. But you just wanted to kick it down the road, and now you're going to try to dress it up like you're playing four-dimensional chess.
Yeah.
It's just, by his own words, he just loves stirring things up and getting attention and publicity. And there's nothing about this deal that makes it look like, oh no, this is the smart and rational and conservative thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You could have made this trade before the draft and actually use these draft picks,
yes,
or what have you.
Yep.
But now you get a couple of likely late first round picks, yep, over the next couple of years, and good luck with that.
Yeah, I think that's worth noting. Yeah, these are like the two first round picks. If the Packers are who they've been under Matt LaFleur, these are going to be picks that are in the high 20s somewhere. They are generally a team that's still hanging around when there's at least eight teams left in the playoffs. The Packers are usually still there. The interesting thing about this one, Seth, to me, is yes, he's kicked the can down the road before with Dak Prescott, with CeeDee Lamb most recently. This one felt like it was personal with David Mulugeta for some reason. Mm-hmm. And like this felt like Jerry Jones turned this into a Jerry Jones versus David Mulugeta. Like, yeah, Micah and I had a handshake deal and we pressed some flesh and we agreed I was going to make him the highest paid, highest guaranteed guy. And then once Micah said, okay, now talk to my agent to get the contract done, Jerry glitched out on the whole thing. Like
the sheer idiocy of everything Jerry was saying over the last couple months was just astounding.
Yes.
And that's after hearing a whole bunch of idiocy out of Jerry Jones before. Because Jerry Jones would stand in front of a microphone and in various interviews act like the standard thing was to make a deal with the player and not talk to the agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was acting almost, he was befuddled as to why this agent was trying to get involved.
Right.
As opposed to, no, that's the way it typically goes.
Yeah.
And some of these jackass, idiot, boot-licking media types actually bought it, yeah, because they're so stupid. I've never been more disappointed with these stupid sports media types than when they allow Jerry to get up there and say things like that. And I'm like, oh, interesting. oh, yeah, it is weird that Mulligetta is trying to insert himself into... You stupid... almost used the C word again. You idiots. It's unbelievable how stupid you allow yourselves to be.
Do you have any specific names you want to put out there, or are you just talking in general to Dallas media?
I didn't watch the entire Stephen A. Smith. Did he push back? You watched the entire Stephen A. Smith interview.
I actually didn't watch the entire Stephen A. Smith.
There was like 3 minutes of it that I didn't watch, so I need to go back and watch to be sure.
Yeah.
If he didn't push back on the notion of the agent not being involved, he'll be on that list of guys that, like, what are you even doing? How are you not asking that question?
I would think pushback from Stephen A. Smith on that would have surfaced on social at some point, but I didn't see it myself.
So I will do that. I'll put that on my list of things to do after the show, Sean.
Okay. The Lord's work.
My virtual assistant.
The Lord's work, yes. So Micah Parsons leaves Dallas. 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I guess he hasn't won Defensive Player of the Year. I thought he had, but it may be a Mandela effect right there. Right, Seth? Is that an example of it?
Mandela effect has to be that there's like a huge chunk of people that remember something. They're like, nope, that's the way it was. Okay. I remember it to this day.
Okay.
And despite it pretty objectively being false.
Okay, yeah. I have a mini Mandela effect going on with Micah Parsons and the Defensive Player of the Year award. Apparently he hasn't won one. 52.5 sacks, 9 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries. And you pointed this out in the open, and we'll hit it again here. This is worth noting. Historically, over the course of his 4 years, Micah Parsons has been the harbinger for the Cowboys, the barometer between good and bad defense. Him being on the field, this is from Bill Barnwell. Over the last 4 years, the Cowboys were the league's best defense with Micah Parsons on the field by EPA per play, estimated points, expected points added per play. It's a efficiency metric. They were the best. Across over 1,000 snaps, those same Cowboys immediately became the worst defense by that same metric when Parsons was on the sideline. Barnwell, however, also points out, as did Seth Payne, in 2024, the Cowboys were 29th in EPA per play and points allowed per possession as a defense with anybody on the field. They were just bad last year. So that's got to be the rationale we heard from Jerry Jones coming into this. Okay, there's two possibilities. One is he's just carnival barking to suit whatever the latest narrative is. That's a distinct possibility. Or he's taking a look at this stuff and going, all right, instead of spending $40+ million on one guy, which he was, again, ready to do a few months ago, but now instead of doing it, it can better be served by spreading it out over several plays. This is a little, texter's point this out. Sorry, Seth. This is a little bit what Bill O'Brien was saying when he traded DeAndre Hopkins.
No, exactly, 100%. And that's the problem with things like this, is that if you isolate the quote, yes, it does make sense. But you have to look at the sum total of what somebody does.
Yeah.
O'Brien, I could make an argument for any one of O'Brien's egregiously bad moves that, you know, even the DeAndre Hopkins trading away, you know, the Patriots did it with Chandler Jones. They traded Chandler Jones away for hardly anything. He had more obvious and publicly reported issues off the field or whatever, but it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
They felt like Chandler Jones, the defensive end, didn't quite fit their culture. They traded him away for a lot less than he was probably worth.
Yeah.
But it's the Patriots. They get a pass, and it's a one-off. With O'Brien, it was just deal after deal after deal where you had to contort yourself a little bit to make an explanation for it.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the Cowboys. You find yourself perpetually contorting yourself almost to the point where your internal organs are all useless and bruised and battered. And that's what the Cowboys are. So all of these, and then I still see like people going back and justifying this by, well, you know, they did it with the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
You idiots.
Yeah.
This is what happened. A bunch of people watched a Netflix documentary that was obviously very skewed in favor of Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And now are thinking they've been bamboozled.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, that's right. This is all part of the grand plan.
Yeah.
They haven't been to a conference championship in 30 years. And you've got people still like doing what Jerry Jones wants them to do.
Yep.
Justifying everything he does by pointing back to something that happened over 3 decades ago.
I'm really anxious to get the Dallas view on this at 8:20 today with Zach Walchuk, who's the afternoon host on our sister station up there. I was listening in on them yesterday, and it felt the parts that I was listening to, there was a lot of talk about Micah in the building, and Micah's a little off, and he's not the guy you want as the face of the franchise, that type of stuff, which are things that we had heard over the last couple of years. There were reports out there the last couple of years that almost felt like they were bracing Cowboy fans for this moment, to the point where there was not an overwhelming sentiment that this is a horrible trade from the Dallas side of things. It was very much split. If I can make a comparison, and again, we'll confirm this when we talk to Zach Walchuk in a couple of hours, it seemed like universally the Luka Doncic trade, I mean, they were protesting outside the stadium. They thought that was going to be the death blow to that franchise, the Luka Doncic trade. Turns out they luck into Cooper Flagg. That's a whole separate thing. That the reaction to the Micah Parsons trade, who has been, you know, I don't want to say as meaningful to the Cowboys as Luka was. It's a different sport, and Luka's one of the top 5 or 10 players in the sport. I suppose Micah's going to wind up one of the top 5 or 10 when the NFL Top 100 comes out. He's like in the 30s. Anyways, it was very split, is what I'm saying. It was very split
Dallas. That part of it, though, I think speaks back to, okay, this is what we were hearing 2 years ago with Micah.
Yeah.
And it's Jerry kicking the can down the road. And if it was the right thing to trade him for various reasons or how people felt about him in the building or what have you, why did it take 2 years to do it and why did it draw out this long?
Yeah.
And it's simply because, you know, like everything Jerry is saying about how they could use these picks to be a better team. Yeah, you could have used them 2 years ago.
Yep.
You know, you've squandered some really good rosters in that time.
Yes.
And you love the drama. You can't help it. You just love the potential for getting all of these clicks and all of these eyeballs.
Okay. So here's my question for Texan fans and for the Texans in general. Will Anderson Jr. is not Micah Parsons inside the building. Will Anderson Jr. is advertised by the GM and the head coach as the guy that is the tone setter in that building for everybody, especially on the defensive side of the ball. D'Amico Ryans, unprompted, points to Will Anderson multiple times as follow that guy. So it's the narrative, not even a narrative, the truth around Will is he is that sort of guy, and he's ascending to be that sort of player, too. Like, if he has the leap in year two to year three that I think he's going to have, I think he's already in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. But he's going to be that type of player. He's getting to that. I mean, is he going to get – what's he going to get, 50?
I know. I told you during the break, man, I bet Caserio throughout this ordeal was really wishing that the CBA allowed him to extend Will Anderson right now.
Yeah.
Because this is where Nick has doled out some big contracts, but they're very early in the side. The Nico Collins and the Derek Stingley ones, where a lot of times those things drag on into August or what have you. He just gets on it right away.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is partly because they know that the price is always going to go up.
Yeah.
And that also he's known for a couple of years now that, all right, we got what we wanted in Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. We got to make some room for those guys and also pay guys like Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
He would have loved to have given Will Anderson a contract, sometime 3 months ago, probably foreseeing some kind of numbers like this.
Any team that has a non-quarterback, especially an edge rusher or a wide receiver, because those seem to be the two positions that are really pushing the limits right now. Those are the only two other positions that are over $40 million a year right now, is edge rusher and wide receiver. If you have one that's on that ascent to where they're in this sort of conversation we're having with Will Anderson, yesterday was a bad day for you. Watching the highest paid non-quarterback go from $41 million to $47 million, watching it go from the mid-30s to $47 million in one offseason is crazy.
Sean, David Mulligetta is... How do I phrase this? I don't want to try to make it bulletin board material because I genuinely mean this.
I don't
have the same concerns about David Mulligetta that other people do.
Yeah.
And it's that because the Texans have already demonstrated an ability to work with David Mulligetta on multiple fronts.
He's Stingley's agent.
Yeah.
He's Stingley's agent.
I mean, now they extended Deshaun Watson already with David Mulligetta as his agent. Now that ended up, as we know, turning ridiculously south, except they also worked with Mulligetta to get Deshaun Watson traded.
Yes.
And that was a long and painful ordeal in which they had to kind of work in conjunction with Mulligetta to create that environment, that auction type environment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that Nick and Mulligetta are kind of, they're strange bedfellows in a regard, in that they both they both see the value of getting a deal done early.
Yeah.
And then let the rest of the deal, let the rest of the league deal with the repercussions. So that it doesn't mean they're allies or anything, but I think their goals are aligned somewhat.
Yeah.
And I think they understand each other. So I think they're going to be jaw-dropping numbers, but I think deals are going to get done with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson.
Yeah,
C.J. Stroud is the one you're concerned about.
Yeah. Will Mulligan is not Will's agent, but yeah, he is C.J.'s agent. So that is absolutely something worth watching. All right, hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Headlines coming up next. We've got Astros that we'll dig into in headlines. We'll circle back to this Micah Parsons trade. Got a whole lot to get to here on a Friday. Stay there.